Is he my prince? Is he the toad? Waiting, wondering, is getting too old. I'm gonna let down my hair, slide up my skirt. Get me up, be the biggest little flirt. Well, I might have.
Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, this is Veronica Monet of the Shame-Free Zone. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's Monday evening, as always. That's when I broadcast. Anyway, I'm doing this remotely. Oh, man, I am so remotely. I had to drive to try to find bars for my cell phone. It's pretty, it's pretty good that I'm this far out into the woods. And I am way out in the redwoods. Not going to tell you exactly where, but I'm enjoying a beautiful romantic vacation in the middle of a forest. Somewhere. I think it's in California. Anyway, but I'm going to check in with you guys for an hour, and I have got a guest tonight who actually invented an oil that I've been putting to really good use, and it's called Trust. It contains food-grade vegetable oils, so we're going to talk a little bit about why it's food-grade and why this does such a great job. For one's love life. And as I understand it, my guest is actually in Italy tonight. So we're all broadcasting remotely. Daniel Ray, welcome to the Shame-Free Zone.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Oh, glad to have you here. So what time is it in Italy anyway?
Oh, it's a little after 6 in the morning.
I am so sorry to be getting you up that early, but, you know, you're also keeping me away from some things I could be doing this time of night. So, I know we're going to talk about a lot of stuff, but, you know, I think hopefully I've intrigued our listeners a little bit about this trust oil. And as I understand it, you invented it quite by accident with one of your girlfriends, or while playing with one of your girlfriends, or while giving a massage or something. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
No, I was dating a girl very seriously for a while, and we were experimenting a lot with massage and different things. And one day she just said to me, she said, you know, we were using a lot of commercial products. And she said to me, she said, do you know what's in these products? Have you ever thought about it? And I really hadn't thought about it. And so I started, you know, thinking about it a little bit and doing some of my own research and learning about different oils that were natural and things like that. And I probably went through and studied about, I don't know, like 40 or 50 oils. And I found a number of oils that I liked for different reasons.
We might need to pull you off if we can't. The levels are too different. Veronica, you're so high compared to your guest. This is Don. Nobody can hear you.
Oh, hey, Don. Sorry about that. So can you adjust our levels?
I can't. You're both on the same line. Doug put you both on the same line.
Oh. What would you like to...
But Doug and I was in a bit of a mess, and Doug helped me out.
I understand.
Exit, and we can reconnect if you like, or you can live with it.
I don't know. You know, is it going to be really difficult for the listeners?
If I'm breaking into your show like this, no, it's horrible.
It's horrible. Okay. So, would you like to call?
Remember, nobody's hearing me. You're talking to your audience now. You're listening to me, but you're talking to your audience.
Okay. Hey, for the listeners out there, I'm really sorry. We're having a couple of technical difficulties. So why don't we call back on Daniel. Are you okay? We'd want to call you back and adjust these levels a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, that's not a problem at all. Not a problem
okay.
at all.
All right, so just go ahead and hang up. We'll call you right back, and you can stand by. Thank you.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge. Bringing humanity closer to truth. BBSRadio.com.
Having a couple of technical difficulties. Our regular sound man, Seth, is off duty tonight. Hopefully having fun. I'm not entirely sure what's taking him away. But anywho, we're back live here with Daniel Ray, who is calling us from Italy. And Daniel was in the middle of a story about how his girlfriend was telling him, do you know what's in these massage oils? But Daniel, I want to ask you, was it really therapeutic massage that you were giving your girlfriend, or are we talking about something a little more erotic?
Oh, well, yeah, we're definitely talking about something more erotic. Now, I will stress that there's a therapeutic portion to it, which I think is an important part of sexuality, and we can discuss that later. But at the same time, there we were doing more of a tantric massage, and you know, we both found that it was the beauty of any sort of massage between, I think, in a sexual context, is that it really puts you in the zone. It really helps both men and women to turn off that internal monologue that we sometimes have when we're with each other, especially after a long day or a lot of work or anything like that. And you know, I just found that was the best way to connect with, you know, whoever I was dating at the time. And that's what we were doing. And, yeah, so from there, you know, we started experimenting with different oils. We found some that really worked out that, you know, the thing we liked about it is you could do anything with it. I mean, we were in a committed relationship. We had both been, you know, tested and checked out, so we, you know, there was no problems there. We were fluid bonded, and it was one of those things where we could do anything we wanted with the oil. So you could transition from a massage to having sex to oral sex to, well, anything you could imagine with it. And so
that's of course a really important point to make, that if you're not fluid bonded and you're using latex barriers of any sort, then you don't want to be using oil because that degrades the latex. But if you are fluid bonded, and many people are, if they happen to be in long-term relationships, then this really is an excellent product. I have to say what I love about it is how you can move to like manual stimulation, to oral stimulation, to intercourse, seamlessly. You don't have to get other other things. You don't even have to go get the lube. You're just using this oil throughout, and it's very palatable too.
Oh yeah, and the thing that I didn't realize this until after at some point I switched back to just, well, you know, I haven't used a lubricant in a while, so let me switch back to another lubricant. And one thing I didn't realize, and you know, my girlfriend didn't realize either, was a lot of lubricants actually replace a woman's natural lubrication, whereas at least it's been my experience that this oil complements it.
And what do you mean that, like, it replaces it? Like, does it actually cause the body to produce less lubrication on its own?
You know, I don't know that it causes it to produce less, but it definitely, I would say, overpowers the natural feeling of a woman's lubrication. If you, like, regular lubricants tend to do that, and it makes it almost a, I'm not sure if it, if you use Astroglide, I'm not sure if it washes it away or what it does. And I definitely am not knocking Astroglide. It's a great product, and it's good for certain things. But, you know, we just found that it didn't really complement a woman's natural lubrication. It seemed like it replaced it altogether. And, you know, it wasn't something that I noticed the first time, but after a while I was like, yeah, this is really different. You know, but then again, everyone likes different things, and I think the biggest thing to stress with anything regarding sexuality is the importance of variety. So,
well, it is, and of course, you must be fluid bonded. Otherwise, if you have put this oil on your genitals, then it's going to degrade the quality and effectiveness of the condom. But for folks who are fluid bonded, I think it's amazing stuff. And want you to ship me a complimentary case tonight.
Yeah, we can definitely do that.
I'm kidding, Dan. But it is really good stuff, and I'm running through it real quick.
Good. I'm glad. I tend to go through a lot myself. I think it's gotten to the point where I go through, I think, a bottle in every 2 to 3 massages, but there's obviously a lot that goes along with the massage when you're with your partner.
Oh, absolutely. Why don't you talk about that a little bit more, too, because you were saying massage is a great way to relate to whoever you happen to be with in your life at this particular moment, whether it's a short-term partner or a long-term partner. But if you have a partner and you both come home after a hard day at work, presumably, or whatever, you're recommending massage. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? And are you a massage practitioner?
I do it from an amateur perspective, I would say. I studied massage originally. I have a brother who, he practices a lot of traditional Chinese medicine, and he's actually a Tai Chi instructor. And when I was younger, I started studying Tai Chi and things like that. And he also practices a lot of different massage, and he does it, I would say, he does it professionally, and it's a very therapeutic type thing. So I learned a lot about it there, and I originally started practicing that way with what I had learned just from studying with him. And then later I came across tantric massage, and there's a guy out there in California named Steve Pickus who has his own tantric massage protocols, and he's pretty good. And the whole idea behind what Steve teaches is to be able to give a woman a full body orgasm through massage. And a lot of times this also focuses on female ejaculation, which is, you know, a hot topic for a lot of people. Although, you know, unfortunately, I think there's a lot of confusion out there about it, and it's funny when men ask me about it, and even when women ask me about it, you start to learn how disconnected a lot of us are from our bodies, you know, both men and women. And, you know, what I found with massage was that when you're with your partner, it really, it breaks the routine, because a lot of things become possible. Also, what you're doing while you're giving a massage or receiving a massage is you're building up those chemicals within your body. You're building up all the oxytocin and endorphins and things like that. And so once you start to practice massage a little bit and relax and incorporate it into your sex life, you literally start to get high off of your own body chemistry. And so after a while, well, I won't even say after a while. I think a lot of people I've talked to, you know, I'd say the first or second time they get into it, once they start getting into it with their partner, and they are having sex, they start to realize that they're really having, I mean, incredible orgasms for a lot of the guys. What it does for a lot of the guys, I find, is that it takes them out of their head where they're so worried about it. You know, they've got that internal monologue, and that's what's going to force a lot of guys towards, you know, maybe premature ejaculation, or even some guys, all it takes for them is one or two bad sexual experiences, and next thing you know, they've got like a psychological erectile dysfunction going on.
And, which, by the way, this is actually something that you speak to. Now, am I correct that you actually have some personal experience with this?
Yeah, absolutely. When I was younger, I was in a relationship with a girl. I don't know how serious you would call the relationship, but it was a girl I was with, and she made a comment, and a lot. That's the thing that people don't realize, is that communication is very huge to any relationship, whether it's someone you're casually seeing, and especially someone you're seeing regularly, or you're in a serious relationship with. But she said, she made a comment to me, you know, after we had sex one time, and it just really, really kind of went straight to kind of just smashed my ego a little bit. And I would say for a week or so after that, I went through a serious bout of I would call psychological ED.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what the hell was going on. I mean, this had always been an area of my life that I was confident, competent, comfortable with. And all of a sudden, you know, I was in my early 20s, and I was like just completely at a loss for words for what the hell was happening with my body. And, you know, it developed from just a mere psychological ED to things seemed a little bit better, but it was still more like a premature ejaculation thing, which I hadn't experienced to that degree ever, even when I was, say, like a teenager. And I just didn't know what the hell was going on. After I'd say about a week. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I want to take a little pause here and just say that a lot of people think that a man is supposed to be all performance-oriented and you know, that he's not as perhaps sensitive as men. I have found a lot of men are very sensitive, and if somebody puts pressure on them to perform or makes an unkind or cutting remark about their performance, it really can have a damaging impact on their ability. It becomes this vicious cycle, so that you start to worry that you're going to do whatever, like fail to get an erection, or, you know, come too fast, whatever that fear is, it starts to actually happen, because the more afraid you are, the less blood flow there is to the penis, and unfortunately, that's an organ that's all about blood flow. So it really needs lots of confidence and love.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're absolutely right there, and I think that's the interesting thing that a lot of guys need to realize is that, and that's something that I've realized, fortunately, really quickly, is that it's not something erectile dysfunction is not something you can rationalize through on your own. And, you know, maybe you could, but I think it takes too long. And the quick fix for me was easy. I simply scheduled an appointment with a doctor, and I went in and talked about it. And what was interesting to me was, as soon as I left, you know, now he told me that he'd give me a prescription and all for something and all that just to get my body readjusted. But as soon as I left and I had just come completely clean and talked about it to someone who knew about the human body, it went away. And that amazed me more than anything, because I realized not only how psychological it was, but I realized that it's not just about your conscious mind and the thoughts you're thinking at the time. I mean, it plays a whole role on your emotions.
Absolutely. I think it's so important. I think sometimes women will tease men. They may tease them about getting an erection. They may tease them about losing an erection. A lot of women invest a lot of their self-esteem in whether or not the man even has an erection or how much of an erection he has. So instead of, you know, expressing their insecurity, some women decide to kind of go on the attack or the offensive and say passive aggressive things. It can damage a guy for life if he doesn't find somebody to talk to about that.
Well, absolutely. And I think the most important thing is whoever you're in a relationship with or having sex with, that's who you need to be talking about it with. And one problem that I see in society in general, and, you know, as I've gotten a little older and I've learned a little bit more, and, you know, I won't necessarily say wiser, but I will say I'm more experienced and I'm more open to new things. But one thing I've found is so many people get involved with a partner for the wrong reason. And ultimately, communication is key. I mean, it's key for romance. It's key for a number of things. And so if you take the time to get to know someone, I'm not saying you need to go out and be a celibate, you know, person like that, or I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm actually talking about the opposite. But at the same time, know the person you're with. And if you do that, and if you can have this open communication, it makes your sex life a lot better. That's for sure.
Yes, I'll tell you, as a former escort, I've certainly seen a lot of men thinking that somehow or another their penis should perform on command. And actually, you know, I think the vast majority of men are much more inclined to want to be in a long-term relationship, want to even maybe be in love, or to at least feel some affection, that's far more conducive to a sexual function for men. And it's interesting because our cultural overlay is very much about how men don't need that. You know, they don't need the kissing and the hugging and the talking. And that certainly has not been my experience. I think that's really a very strange myth that we have about male sexual performance.
Oh, absolutely. And I think if you ever watch, I've definitely seen, well, I haven't watched in several years, but I know I used to watch that HBO series Cat House. And
Yes. You'd
see a lot of the men were going there for a level of communication that they didn't have with their partners.
And
so I think what you're saying is absolutely right. I think it's absolutely spot on. It is, I mean, you know, there's lots of communication. I mean, we're having a conversation right now. And then, you know, there's the conversation you have with someone you're intimate with. But then for some people, there's a conversation they're having with their girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife. And it's not always the same thing. And there's also a nonverbal level to conversation, which comes through body language and touch and things like that. And so there's all these different components to conversation. And I think what makes a complete relationship is when you can bring all of those into one interaction. But unfortunately, for some people, they don't have that with maybe their partner or whoever else. And there's this perception that, you know, men don't need, you know, they just need variety, which I think everyone needs variety to a degree, whether it's within the relationship or for some people who have open relationships, maybe they want to have variety outside of their relationship. And if that's what they want, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Daniel, you know what happens, actually? Let's just talk about men who actually go to see prostitutes, because that's, for a lot of people, that's the bottom, you know. It's like, well, if you're doing that, then you are obviously having a very superficial relationship with sex. The vast majority of men who see prostitutes actually aren't going to cat houses. Brothels, legal brothels, are really constitute a minority of men, because there's very few of them that are legal.
Yeah.
The vast majority of them actually go to great pains to locate a provider, an escort, get acquainted with her, get through her filtering process to make sure that she will even see him. And once they have established a rapport, they end up becoming what is called a regular. And a regular is the bread and butter of most escorts. They see the same men over and over and over again, oftentimes every week, sometimes every month, but usually it's actually once a week for years. Some of these guys will stay with the same provider for 12, 15, 20 years. Now, that's really interesting, because if all men are looking for some strange, they're sure going about it in a really strange way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense to a large degree. What we're talking about, especially with communication, everything like that. It's one thing I've found is that when there is a strong connection with a person, that really adds to the sexual element. And I can't remember too many times where, you know, I slept with someone for the first time and it was as good as it got. You know, it always, for me at least, and I think this is like this for a lot of guys and a lot of women, when it takes more than just one experience to cultivate a really strong sexual connection with someone.
What you're talking about, sexual connection, that's really, you know, unfortunately, both men and women have really gotten into this territory about, the perfect body, somebody who looks good on their arm, or perhaps, you know, this is more of a female standard, but sorry, what does he do for a living? What does he drive?
You're absolutely right. I just have to throw this out there while it popped in my head, but what you're talking about is something that I've often described to people as the absolute worst combination for a relationship. And the absolute worst combination is when one partner is with someone, you're with someone for looks and money. And that's not a good foundation for a sexual connection.
Oh, absolutely not. And then people want to know, they make what they consider to be very intelligent choices about who they want to partner with. Sometimes it's somebody that they want to have children with. Sometimes it's somebody that reminds them of one of their parents. But ultimately, then the sex is not what they were hoping it would be, and they wonder why. I think another big part besides choosing poor partners is also just failing to follow up on the communication, because oftentimes, you know, you were talking about body language. That's so important, and I just don't think you can overestimate body language, how people communicate their displeasure or their joy. I think this is one of the reasons that a lot of people love to have dogs, because the dog's always happy to see you.
Yeah.
And sometimes when they come home to their partner, instead of their partner welcoming them with open arms and an open heart, what they get is a little bit of a rebuff. Like, you know, I'm still not over the last argument that we had, or you know, I feel like you're ignoring something that I've been requesting repeatedly, and so now I'm going to ignore you.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think another thing to mention there is the different ways that men and women communicate. You know, men, we want it all, oftentimes, we want it all kind of spelled out. Like, we say what we have in our mind. We might not communicate it perfectly, but with women sometimes, especially with the way society, I think society has definitely affected women's sexuality more so than men. And I think it's getting better. I do think it's getting better. But, I mean, if you just take a look at history, society for the past several hundred years at least, through different forces, religion and then cultural forces, it's definitely been a paternalistic system. And it's definitely, I think, held down women's sexuality to a large degree. And so...
Oh, it has.
Yeah.
It has.
And so...
You mentioned female ejaculation, Daniel, and how some women, you know, don't know how to do that. And, you know, it's a very interesting thing. Around the time that the women of the world were clamoring for a vote, and this was happening around the globe, nation after nation was starting to experience this movement of women looking for their rights, and gradually, you know, the vote was accrued to women in various different countries until now there's the vote for women in most nations, not all, but most. But during that time when women were looking for the vote, the doctors, when they were writing their textbooks, their medical textbooks, lost the female prostate. So women had originally had a prostate in the medical diagrams, and they were known to female ejaculate, and then all of a sudden, in the 18th century, it's like, no, they don't. They can't ejaculate. They don't have prostates.
Yeah, and you know, that's what's funny to me is when you really get into, well, that, first of all, I think you and I can both agree that there's a lot of bad information out there on sexuality. Tons of it. I mean, like the study that came out a few years ago, I think it was in England, that said we can't prove that women have G-spots, therefore there is no G-spot or something like that.
Right.
And they had, you look at how they did the test, and it's like, oh, we interviewed some twins and asked them about it. And so you're talking about, you did a question and answer, or not even a question and answer, a yes or no, with twins, and you ask them about their genitalia, and you expect every woman's going to tell you everything about her genitalia, given how closed-off society has made women in regard to their sexuality and how internalized it is. And that's something that I try to explain to guys a lot. But even another problem is when you talk about female ejaculation, I find tons of guys who want to come ask me about it when they find out that I've actually taught a number of women, and I mean not to brag about it, because I don't think it's anything to brag about, but
that's okay, Daniel, brag.
I've yet to fail to help a girl achieve this. I'd say in the past year and a half, I've helped about 13 women learn to do this with their bodies if they didn't already know.
Wow. Hey, you know what? My hat's off to you. I've taught quite a few women how to female ejaculate, but 13, that's quite a few. In a year and a half, for you.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, you got to consider some of that was, I mean, it wasn't always a girl I was dating. Sometimes girls would just, who were friends of mine, would say, listen, I don't, you know, I'm not looking for a relationship or anything like that, but I do know you do this massage, and I'd like to check it out. And I'd say, all right, sure, that's fine. And we had strict ground rules, and it was a very it was done very professionally. But then with girls I'm dating, I mean, you get in a relationship and you date a girl for a certain amount of time, and sometimes your focus is on her and her alone. Mm-hmm. But one thing I find with a lot of guys is when you start telling them about it, they're like, they're all of a sudden not interested in it. They're like, well, that's too much work, or they're freaked out by the thought of her ejaculating. It's like their ego is going to get crushed by it somehow. I don't get it. And it totally blows my mind, because it's brought nothing but complete happiness to my life. I have never made a girl ejaculate and then had a problem afterwards.
Yeah. You know, I think some people think it's too messy. This is interesting that you're encountering guys who actually are kind of, their ego is threatened by the female ejaculation. That's very interesting.
Well, and, maybe also another aspect of it is their ego could be just threatened by me, because, I say, well, listen, I tell them about what went into my study and everything else. And it's like anything else, if guys don't want to put in the work unless they see the results immediately. And the reality of it is, you're not going to read a textbook on female ejaculation and walk out and understand a woman's body and understand the different stages of arousal and be able to feel like, say, if you're massaging her internally, to be able to know what the hell's going on with her body, or to realize that, hey, maybe this person's had some trauma in their life. I've come across women who have had bad sexual experiences. I've come across women who've been neglected for a long time, and you really have to be in tune with that. And I've also come across women who have experienced things like rape, and I've helped them through that as well. And when you do that, that's when you realize that this is something that, first of all, you realize how sacred sexuality is. And how it, for every one of us, it really is a birthright to discover the depths of our sexuality. And that goes for men as well. One thing that's interesting about, what's behind female ejaculation is that men and women, our bodies are so similar, because we basically start off with all the same fetal tissue when we're developing in the womb.
Exactly, analogous tissue.
Yeah, and there's corresponding parts throughout. And if you look at the physical, I'd say the nuts and bolts of how each of our parts work, so to speak, it's very similar. It's very balancing. I mean, you look at just the form and the function of, the penis or the vagina, and both of them, it's very complementary, and
they are complementary.
Go ahead.
Well, I also like to point out to people that the analogous tissue that takes, let's go back to the fetal development. The analogous tissue is that a prostate is analogous to a prostate. So whether you have a P spot, which is a prostate spot, or you've got a G spot, which is a Grafenberg spot in females, that's analogous tissue. So is the prostate associated with that spot. And then the clitoris and the penis are analogous. But so to access the P spot on a male, you actually have to penetrate the rectum. To access the G spot on a female, you have to penetrate the vagina. And it's interesting, because when I'm actually educating men about the vulva, about a woman's vulva, I like to point out to them that the analogous tissue is a little bit shifted there. So since they don't have a vulva, if they want to really relate to the P, the G spot, they really need to understand their own P spot, because that's where the analogous tissue is. Trying to treat a vagina like a penis is where a lot of male-female sexual relations go wrong, in my opinion, because men are trying to get the vagina to respond like they would expect their penis to respond, which is usually about fast movements and deep, you know, kind of rigorous friction. Whereas as soon as you tell a man, you know, let's talk about your P-spot, it's like, oh, all of a sudden, you know, their butt cheeks clench and they're like, oh, go gently.
Yeah.
And they get it, you know, they finally get it. Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess you'd have to warm me up a lot before I want you to do something deep and rigorous in that part of my body.
Yeah, and you know, going along with that, it's all about learning how to read the other person's body. And you can be vigorous with a woman. You can be very vigorous with her, but you have to know that it's got to be warmed up. You can't just jump into it. And a lot of guys don't realize that. There's that aspect to it. Another thing that in regards to female ejaculation or male erectile dysfunction is, but I find that because a woman's genitals are, you know, inside of her, people don't realize, they don't think about it. They don't think about the muscles and the tissue and all that the same way. I mean, it's pretty obvious if a man is sexually healthy by, you know, his hardness level and his ability to achieve and maintain an erection. And you can, then from there, you can start talking about his stamina or whatever else. Now, for a woman, it's a little bit different, and there's a lot that goes into it as well. And so many women, they themselves don't realize that they need to. Men and women, as we age, we definitely need to continue to exercise our genitals just like you would any other muscle. Men definitely. Go ahead.
Well, for a woman, you can get the barbells. You can get those little barbells or the Benoit balls to exercise your PC muscles. And a fun exercise I like to give men is just put a towel on your erection and see if you can lift the towel up and down.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. I think for a lot of men that might be a little much to start with.
Yep.
That's not necessarily the best starting place.
You're probably right about that, Daniel. So what would be a good place for men to start?
I think the best place for men to start is they should pick up, and you might have heard of these books. There's a book by Dr. Stephen Lamb called The Hardness Factor, and that book really is kind of like a Bible for the male erection. And by learning more about that, you actually will also learn more about female sexuality, because as you learn, like we were talking about analogous tissue, as you learn more about how your body functions, you actually start to understand more how the female body functions once you, I guess, look at it enough. Another good book is just Aaron Kimmer's Exercising the Penis, which is a really thoughtful book. They're both very thoughtful books. But one thing that's important for men to realize is that it is important that you're waking up in the morning and you have an erection and things like that. Because when you start to have softer erections as you get older, it can be a sign of health problems such as heart disease. You really need to stay on top of it, because it can be, you know, a man's erection really is a barometer for his total physical health. And as we get older, we naturally start to lose the ratio of, you know, smooth muscle to cartilage or whatever that's in the penis. And as that ratio declines, we'll start to have softer and softer erections. And then people want to turn to Viagra and Cialis and Levitra and things like that as an answer. It's funny. There have been a few male porn stars who've come out against Viagra saying, yeah, I was relying on it, and eventually I had to take more, and I had to take more, and eventually I lost my ability altogether, and then I had to start from scratch.
Oh my God, I've not heard of this. So, male portraits, how recently did that happen?
I'd say in the last few years. There was a male porn star by the name of Kenny Styles, who I think he actually, now I'm not really into porn, but I do keep up, not that there's anything wrong with it, but I find porn stars fascinating, and I find the information that some of them have to share is very relevant to sexual health. Certainly not about everything, and I don't encourage people to, you're not going to learn good sexual technique by going out and just picking up a porn and watching it.
I think people
realize that. But I will say some of these people, especially, for example, when this guy came out and explained, his problem that he went through where, you know, he started relying on Viagra to shoot all of his scenes, and then he was popping two pills to do it. And then
wow. He
couldn't even get an erection. But
oh my God.
When he dug down like inside of himself and realized there was more to it, especially the psychological aspect, and then enjoying sex from a little bit more of a healthy perspective. When he did that, he started really learning how to maintain his sexual health, how to increase his stamina, how to increase his hardness level. And, you know, what I've found is books like The Hardness Factor and Exercising the Penis, incredible places for men to start. And not only that, like for me, it definitely, when I started learning more about how to improve my sexual health and sexual function, I was able to translate that and help the women in my life out. Also, you know, I studied out in California with Steve Pickus, and, you know, couples should definitely check out his Tantric Massage DVD collection, which is the White Tiger Tantra series. But one thing that I found when I was studying with him was how internalized it can be for women, especially mentally. And not only do you need to understand, you know, that when women are aroused, they're also having an erection, basically. I mean, their clitoris is erect. There's increased blood flow to the genitals. So that's a huge factor for massaging the whole body plus that part of the body, because you want the whole body working in unison. So there's that aspect to it. And then there's the mental aspect, which is arguably the largest part. I mean, if you read any sort of erotica or anything like that, and you'll start to get an idea of how creative the female mind is, and how it's if you really know how to talk to someone and lead them through an experience, you'll exponentially increase not only the connection you have, but you'll also increase, you know, the whole experience, the whole sexual experience. And
yeah, you actually advocate a holistic approach to sexuality.
Absolutely.
So that, yeah, and I think you've really been kind of covering that this evening. So you're talking about, you know, communication, massage. What else would you count as a holistic approach to sex?
I mean, it's really basic, and that's the thing. The secret is there is no secret if you sit down and use some common sense. I mean, you've got to rest, you've got to relax, you've got to eat well. And these aren't things that you need to constantly think about during the day. Just make small adjustments as you go through life, and then look back 6 months from now, and you'll be like, you know, wow, I've come a long way. Or hopefully you and your partner or partners, if you're with multiple people, have come a long way. And it's all of that. It is the communication. It's the physical aspect of it. How are you eating? Are you sleeping well? Are you passionate about anything in your life? Because once you have those things, you can start to share more. And sharing more, I mean, I'm not saying you need to go buy a book on Tantra and sit around and memorize the names of all these gods and goddesses or whatever. All this stuff. I don't think you should necessarily need to do that. Now, maybe you could try it out and learn a little bit. I mean, the biggest thing is learning from different places. And it never ceases to amaze me when I pick up the latest, like, Cosmo or something like that, that there's some advice in there that I'm like, man, I really hope they don't follow that advice. There was a funny internet comedy article that I read one time that said it was like the seven sex tips from Cosmo that will send you to the hospital. And I read it, and I think if you Google it, it'll come up. But it's one of the funniest things ever. And they had things like, you know, when a guy has a full erection, grab it firmly and pretend that it's a video game joystick and move it up and down and all over the place. And I was like, yeah, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
That's pretty painful. Daniel, I'm looking at our clock here. We're running out of time. We got a couple more minutes. I want to make sure that our listeners know where to find your wonderful massage oil, Trust. It comes in this gorgeous blue bottle. It's just a beautiful blue bottle. And it's called Trust. Now, why do you call it Trust?
Well, it's like, you know, it says on the bottle, every relationship needs trust. And, well, that's because, A, that's a pretty strong and true statement. Once you don't have that communication and you start building walls in your relationship, say if you know that you want to go out and do this or that and your partner's not going to be happy with it, so you start to lie or you're not being honest with what you want, you start to build walls and you start to hide behind those walls. And when you do that, communication breaks down. And once there's no trust in a relationship, be it a friendship, a business relationship, a sexual relationship, definitely, you really start, you destroy the integrity of the relationship, and it's not going to last. It's not going to be synergistic and continue to move forward. And so we do stress the importance of touch and developing that aspect of a relationship. And we think that doing massage or, you know, using our oil in any way you can imagine with your partner builds that, because you're not just focusing on what's being said. You're focusing on the actual physical aspect of really losing yourself with the person you're with.
Awesome.
And that's such a huge part of it.
It is a huge part of it. Now, where can they order this? Do you have a website that they can order it online?
Yeah, if they just go to trustintimacy.com, that's our web address, and if they just go there, they can order it.
Okay, so www.trustintimacy.com.
That's right. And
all right.
I'm pretty sure we do have, for your listeners, we do have a code set up for you, right?
Fabulous.
I don't think
that I know what that code is, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell the listeners right now that if they want to access that code, you'll email it to me, right, Daniel?
Yeah, I'm actually trying to pull it up right now as we talk.
Go ahead. I've got a couple announcements that I have to make here real quick before we sign off. I just want to tell the listeners, I am going to be teaching a couples compassionate connection workshop in Nevada City, California, Northern California. And Nevada City, you look it up, it's a gorgeous little mining town. The workshop is on Saturday, August the 6th. It's an all-day workshop. We start at 9. We'll be finishing up at 4. You can email me if you want the link. You can also just put it in your browser, Veronica Monet, Compassionate Couples in Nevada City, and it's going to come up. Make sure you specify Nevada City, because I just taught this up in Seattle as well. So kind of doing a little tour here, and I'll be teaching it next in Nevada City. So if you want to work on that trust element, be sure to sign up for the workshop, and I hope to see you on August 6th. Dana, did you find the code?
I did, and you know I'm going to put it in. I thought we already had it in, but I'm just gonna make it a shame-free zone, if that's all right.
Awesome. Okay, so go to trustintimacy.com, order your trust massage oil, and be sure to put in shame-free zone as a discount code. Daniel, thank you so much. You've been awesome. I hope the rest of your trip in Italy goes well. And that's it for the shame-free zone. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me. Sering kesepian.